You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church or other additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
So Genesis chapter 22, Genesis chapter 22. So I just as we start, I'm coming to you this morning as a man who's been through a test this week, okay? It seemed right for me to start this way because, you know, some of you guys know my wife and I, we started a journey on fostering, and we adopted, and so God bless my wife. She's been through, I've just seen like just the emotional toll and all that stuff, things going on in such a way that like we just kind of decided that she was going to go, and she was going to go with the older two older kids, and she was going to go to Florida and go and just relax, okay? But she gave me a test, and this test was to take care of our three young ones, okay? So I have emerged from a dungeon full of very strong-willed toddlers, right? And I think now I'm immune to screams. I'm immune to whining. I think God has taught me this week how to be patient. Actually, like, I think he's really fished it out of my heart. Like, just like, so he's taught me patience. He's taught me a lot of grace, right? And so not only that, like, now I sleep like a soldier, right? Just like at the first squirm, man, I'm up. I'm armed with a bottle. I'm ready to stick it in and just, like, let it go, right? So this has just been my week. And I told my wife, thank you so much for letting me do this. And I just, that's what I said outside, but inside, something else, right? So we're talking today about Abraham going through a test, okay? Going through a test. And for me, like, this was a blessing as well this week, just to get to go through that with my kids. And I keep saying to people, they're like, yeah, I hear you're babysitting this week. And I'm like, no, I'm parenting this week, okay? So I'm not babysitting. So, yeah, for an African man, yeah, that's been a lot of work. Anyway, let's get into Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to start with, so basically you get to see God tests Abraham. He comes in, he gives him a test, and this is not a temptation, because James is going to say later on that God doesn't tempt us. This is a test. This is something that basically you get to see throughout the whole Bible. When God wants to bring people to trust them even more and more, he usually brings them a test. So for example, here you're going to see this. You're going to see this in this passage where God calls him to do something that I just don't even imagine myself being in his position, and I don't even know how I would do that. But as I was looking down at just like the scripture, and I get to see, for example, if you go to Exodus, the people that are hearing this for the first time, imagine being chased by an army that is ready to kill you, and you're standing right in front of the sea. And this is also a test as well to say, listen, stand firm and see the salvation of God. Could you just like look really as stupid as possible? Reach out with your staff and so that the sea could part, right? And not only that, if you go to the next book in Joshua, you get to see Joshua gets to stand before Jericho, and he is told for 7 days you're going to really look dumb, and you're going to walk around, and then on the seventh day you're going to scream loud. And this is what's meant to happen. A wall is meant to come down. As you are moving on, if you go to Judges, you're going to get to see as well where there's 30,000 men. You would think that's strong for an army, but God scales it down for Gideon and says, take 300 men and go and fight a war. And it looks like a test. And just like, and so throughout the Bible, throughout the Bible, you get to see these things. Even Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 4, he has to go into the desert to be tested for a certain time. for a certain time. So Abraham is not exempt from this. So as you get to see, he gets to go through a test. And so let's read this. Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham. So this is the hindsight that we get to see that he was being tested. But this is not what Abraham is thinking around this time. Right? He tested Abraham and he said, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Abraham shows up. He is present with God. If you remember, because man has sinned at the beginning in the garden, God comes looking for Adam. He says, where are you? But here, what he says to Abraham, he says, Abraham, and he says, here I am. I am present with you, God. I'm here. And then he said, take your son, your only son. Look at this. Take your son, your only son. And this is, if you're reading this like me, you would be seeing this dagger going deeper and deeper into Abraham's heart. Look at this. This is how God, take your son, right? He could have just said, take your son and go and do this. No, not only that. Look at this. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there for as a burnt offering of one at one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So you get to see here. This is Abraham. He's been waiting for a very long time for a son. And finally, he has a son. And this passage kind of clues us in that this is actually now a young lad. He's probably around 15, 16. He is old enough, and because we're going to see him getting to carry the wood up the mountain. So he's old enough. But Abraham is now on what we could call maybe cruise control. Things are really going well. The promises that was made for him for his son, he waited for more than 25 years. And all of a sudden, if you've driven a manual car, like I love to drive manual cars. If you get it in a wrong gear, it's painful. Especially if you throw it into reverse while you're driving, right? This is exactly what's going on. Abraham is on cruise control, and all of a sudden, God throws everything into reverse gear. And it seems as if like all hope is lost at this moment. Because God is saying, take your son, your only son, the one that you love. Take your son and go and do this. And some of us obviously would look at this and would think, man, what is going on here? God is actually calling him to a deeper trust at this moment. He's calling him to a deeper trust, but if you look at the culture around that time, the culture around that time, you would see that they were taking in the culture around that time, there were these foreign gods who would actually they will demand sacrifice of children. For example, the god Molech, he would demand a sacrifice. So people, that it was normal around that time to sacrifice your son and your daughter. So Abraham hears this, and for him, he looks around at the culture and he's saying, okay, God, you're asking me to do this. I am gonna do it. I'm going to do it. But at this moment, God just basically looks almost as, it almost looks as if he is the same God as every other God. But later on, he's going to prove that he is so different than the gods of the land, because he is going to provide a lamb on Isaac's behalf. This is what ends up actually basically setting apart Christianity from everything, in the fact that in order to please God, if you were to take the pleasing God around that time, in order to please whatever God you had there, you had to take your child, your firstborn, and you would go offer them, and you'd walk away from the altar with nothing. But at this moment, he is going to walk to the altar, but he is going to walk away with his son, because God does on his behalf, provides on his behalf the lamb to be. This is setting us up for the good news of Jesus Christ. in the fact that this is what sets apart Christianity from every religion. In the fact that every religion says do, 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 and Christianity says done, 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 done. You don't have to do anything anymore but believe. Amen? And so you get to see this is the gospel before the gospel. The gospel before the gospel. So he says, take your son. And in this moment, obviously, God looks as if he's cruel, but he's going to prove himself as different. But not only that, we know because we're reading it in, we know that God, what God has said he was going to do through Isaac does not match up with what he is wanting to do to Isaac. Right? What God is saying, so we get to see that God is going to, he's asking him, and this is all a test. This is all a test. And let me just kind of bring it down to us here as Christians today. One of the things that that I get to see, for example, with our children is that they get to be tracked to see whether they're developing right. They're developing, are they normally growing? And so the way to test whether you're growing as a Christian is through tests and trials. It's through tests and trials. And in fact, God never wants our faith to remain stagnant. A healthy faith is a growing faith. A healthy faith is a growing faith. And I love what my favorite scripture, Proverbs 4:18. It's not up there, but it says this. I'm going to read it for you. It says, But the path of the righteous, look at this, is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. That's what faith looks like for a Christian. It shines brighter and brighter, but it doesn't mean that trials are not there. It doesn't mean that suffering is not there. It doesn't mean that things that are unfair are not happening to us. But still, because of faith, you're getting brighter and brighter. Same idea that you're going to see in Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 17, where it's going to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ for what? It is the power of God for those who believe, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Because in it, look at this, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed that takes you from faith to faith. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 is going to give you that same idea. We beholding the glory of God are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. And what is the ingredient in there? It's faith. And so faith continues to grow. Faith continues to grow, and a challenged faith has an opportunity to grow. A challenged faith has an opportunity to grow. And so my question for you this morning is that, yes, we can read Abraham, but God might not ask you to go sacrifice your child. But today, what is God calling you to as a step of faith? And let me clue you in. Maybe look towards the tests that are going through your life. And you will get to see that maybe he's calling you to a deeper trust through the tests in your life. Through the tests in your life. You could either be like a two-year-old, right? I've just been around them all along. That can pout and hit the floor and say it's not fair. Or you can say, God, what are you saying? What are you calling me to? Amen. So we get to see Abraham obeys God. He obeys God and he obeys God. And from there, the journey of faith, God had begun a journey of faith in chapter 12, calling him from Ur of Chaldees and calling him to go to a land that he didn't even know. But this time he's asking him to give away the very thing that is dear to his heart. His only son, the son that he loves. Amen. So let's read verse 3. Look at this. So Abraham rose early in the morning. Can you just imagine? Some of us would probably try to stall as much as possible. But Abraham, and it says that he said nothing. He didn't contest it. He didn't do anything. He just said, and I want you to kind of just think about what's going on in his mind, right? And you might think, oh, well, that he just got up and he did it without thinking. But look at this. The scripture doesn't really say, so Abraham rose early in the morning, right? He rose early in the morning, and look at what he does. He rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place from afar. I just want you to think about this. This was not just like a in the moment kind of thing. He had 3 days to think about this. 45 miles to get there. And slowly and surely he was thinking through this. His obedience, and God gave him enough time to contemplate, are you sure you want to obey God in this way? And so he moves, and then so he continues to go. And I want to kind of just show you, there's a little bit of a couple of clues on by which like you get to see faith displayed in Abraham's part. There's faith that is displayed in Abraham's part. And I just want you to kind of see what Abraham, as he's going, and I was wondering what was going through his mind until I went back and I said, why was this man looking so resolved? And I turned back to chapter 21, verse 12, where God says, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Through Isaac. And so at this moment, Abraham knows that no, God is still going to, there's a bigger plan through Isaac. So he's going, but he's looking at a God who never fails, who's talked to him, who's promised, and he's going to come through. And not only that, if you go to Hebrews chapter 12, 11, verse 19, it says, he considered that God was able. Listen to this. He considered that God was able, because the plan, God had not canceled the plan through Isaac. He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back from the dead. So you get to see him. So there's faith displayed by him actually moving forward. And I like what Oswald Chambers says. He says, faith is not a resignation to what? To a power that we do not know. Faith is committal to one, listen to this, whose character we do know. It has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. It's not this God that we do not know. So I want you to kind of think about it. Abraham has gone through everything with God. They've gone through twists and turns from chapter 12, everything. I mean, this God has come and rescued him. He's shown him grace upon grace. He's shown him that he's loyal to him. He's shown him all these things. And at this moment, Abraham says, I know who's talking. I know. And for us as Christians, when God is asking us to do something, it's not that it's a God we do not know. We look. Jesus says, if you've seen me, in John chapter 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's a God who's revealed himself, John chapter 1, verse 18, right? In him, right? In him, there was a fullness of deity, right? In Colossians, it also says that. So he has revealed himself to us. And I want you to kind of get to see as well the way he demonstrates even faith going further. He says to the young man in verse 5, look at this. He says, then Abraham said to the young man, stay here with the donkey when they get there, right? And I and the boy will go over there and worship. And look at what he says to them. And I will come back. And we will what? And we'll come back to you. And I love the way the NIV puts it. It says, we will go and worship and we will come back. So he was trusting that God will deliver him. Like, it's just, can you imagine? He says, we will come back. we will come back. And so, then another part where he shows faith as well is in verse 7. You will get to see the next verse here. In verse 7, he will say to Isaac, and Isaac said to his father, "My father," he said, "here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamp for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, listen to this, a faith statement. God will provide for himself for the burnt offering, my son. He says, God will provide himself. And so he says, God will provide. And this is where, if you are familiar with the names of God, this is where the name Jehovah Jireh comes from. Jireh, Yireh means God sees. He sees the needs and he meets it. God will see the need for a sacrifice to be made, and he's going to provide. Oh, the gospel before the gospel. If it is you, this is already kind of clicking for you, because God sees our need and he sends his son for us. Right? He says God will provide. He will provide. And so we get to see Abraham trusting in God. But not only that, trust is not only in Abraham's part, but it's also in Isaac's part even there. Look at this. And look at this. And they are going up this mountain. They're going up this mountain, and they're going, and Isaac is there, and he is around 16 around this time. And listen, he gets put on it. Look at this. And Abraham built an altar there. He laid the wood and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar. And he laid him on the altar. And we get to see this thing play out. And this, at this moment, we know Abraham is old. We know the son is young. And we know around 16, you think you can conquer everything, right? At 16, you think you can. I promise you, he might have been able to outrun him at that point. He says, "No, this is not what we agreed on. I'm out." But we get to see also, and I love just the way even some commentators say, they say that this shows that he had been talking to his son, and at this moment, his son is in on the father's faith as well, which is my dream for us as parents, as people. Could you take your children on a journey of faith? Like, what does it look like when it comes to times of sacrifice with your children? Do they bail out, or do they stay the course? This is why we need to be intentional with them, right? This is why last week is very important. This is why we need to intercede, right? This is why intercession, if you didn't listen to that last week, go and listen to that. This is why it's very important. You get to see Isaac just basically like trusting, putting himself in submission to his father. In submission to his father, and say, "My father, if you think this is the way forward, let's go ahead and let's do it." Right? So you get to see and you get to see this going on. And as we move on, let me just show you. It says this in verse 11. It says, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, right? Called him from in heaven as he's reached out, right, his hand to just go ahead and slaughter his son. But the angel called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham," right? He said, "Here I am again." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything, for now I know that my opinion is valued more than any other opinion. You fear God. Now I know that my honor and I hold the weightiest place in your life." That's what the fear of God is. You respect me more than anything. You're willing to let go of anything that is of value so that you can gain me the crown of all jewels. You're willing to let it. And this is what Paul is going to say in Philippians chapter 3. He's going to say that he's going to list all his accolades, right? He's going to say, a Pharisee of Pharisees, circumcised on the eighth day. And he says that according to the law, blameless. And he's going to say all these things. But he says that, look at this, but compared to gaining Christ, I consider all this a scubalon, which is dung, which is basically, I've been changing a lot of diapers, reference, right? Which means that like it's waste compared to knowing gaining Christ, everything else that I have is waste. This is what God is affirming. He's saying, Abraham, you've proved to me that everything else is nothing compared to me. I am first in your life, and this is what. And so don't take your son. And Abraham lifted his eyes, right? And you can get to see, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, there was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And right, and Abraham took the ram, offered it. And that day, Isaac experienced what we call substitutionary salvation. While he was meant to be the one offered on the altar, there was a lamb on his behalf. Oh, gospel. The good news of Jesus on us. Right? It's so good. So good. I'm telling you, like, this is so good. I have the best job ever. Right? And I get to scuba dive and get deep down and get to, man, like, this is awesome. So Abraham passes the test. He passes the test, and when he passes the test, and God says, now I know that you fear me, right? Because there was faith in him, right? Now you fear God. And I love what another Old Testament scholar, he's dedicated his life just to study the life of Abraham. He wrote a book called Our Father Abraham, Marvin R. Wilson. He says this, let me read it for you. To the Hebrew mind, therefore, faith meant confidence. It was the capacity to enter life with courageous expectation. The person of faith did more than just believe with his heart or develop an attitude of trust. He stepped out into life to act on that belief. His mental assurances and convictions were transformed into action. The person of faith was one who was so committed to do like Abraham, he ventured into the unknown, right? From the beginning, he ventures into the unknown. Here, he ventures into the unknown. He doesn't know what God is going to do. Ventures into the unknown, right, with full expectation that God would meet him there. Expectation that God is going to meet him there. Thus, in the biblical sense, to have faith. And this is what I'm challenging us today. To have faith was to move out in life and know that God will be there waiting. Whatever he's calling you and me to as a family, he's going to be there waiting for us. It was the call to step boldly into tomorrow, right? To embrace the new with confidence that every new day would prove to be a meeting place with the holy and eternal God. The opposite of that was what? To cling desperately to yesterday, fearing that if one was to ever leave it, he would leave God. So there's this thing where Abraham lives in the future. He knows what God has said about the future, and all of a sudden he's able to endure through a test. He knows what God has said. He says, through you all nations will be what? Blessed. Through your son Isaac, I know I'm going to do this. And he lives so much in the... And this is us, the Christians, between this already but not yet, through the trials, through the temptation, through the hard times, through everything, could we be able to see the future? The God who has said in Philippians 1:6, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you and me. So what does that mean? On a crappy day when things are going bad, he's doing a good work in you and me. He will what? He will be faithful. He never lies. He'll be faithful to bring it to completion on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That day, the already but not yet, in this time, we must face tests and trials and all that, but they are making us better and better. Tests according to the Bible, they're meant to propel us to believe in God even more and more. Because he's a God who not only saves us, who sustains us and fuels us until the day. Amen? Amen. This is so good. If you can think about it. So his faith was rewarded. I just want to read you what God says. And I want you to kind of see the key words. If you take this passage, this is actually where Abraham, in the next chapter, in the next couple of chapters, Abraham is going to die and he's going to leave. But this is where God is going to, this is why we're finishing here. But this is actually like, if you go and read chapter 12, he says, I will do this. I will do this for you. I'll bless you. I'll make you a big nation. I will do this. But listen to what he promises him here. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and says, by my, look at this. Now this is God saying, now this is happening because I am first place in your life. By myself, I have sworn. I put the greatest signature of all on this thing. And he's a God who never lies, right? Right? According to Titus chapter 1, it says he's a God who never lies. By myself, I have sworn, declares the Lord. Right? Because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. You know what was missing from chapter 12? That word surely. This time, God is saying, oh, put my name on that. This is happening. I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all your nations on earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. This morning, I just want to really just kind of throw it at you. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And I want to say that the journey of faith begins by hearing the voice of God. The voice of God. And it's in fact, Ephesians 2, it says we were dead in sin. The voice, the journey of faith comes like it's almost as if God is standing like he was standing, Jesus was standing outside Lazarus' grave. If we were dead in sin, it starts by hearing his voice and we're raised into a new life. And I'm here to say that the journey of faith continues by continually hearing his voice. And which is the original audience now understands what's going on. Because they heard God's voice call them and he delivered them from the enemy. But in the desert, they hardened their hearts. And this is almost an indictment to Christians, people that are Christians, where are you? And we're going to be going through this in the next couple of weeks. Are you listening or your heart has become so hard to God? The journey begins by hearing his voice. It continues by hearing his voice. It ends by hearing his voice, right? It ends by hearing his voice. Go read Revelation chapter 7. Go read the book of Revelation when the angels are announcing from heaven, salvation belongs to our God, who was slain from the foundations of the earth. It begins, continues by you hearing God's voice. And that is why we need to create spaces in our lives where we continually hear God's word. Amen. That's what it, and let me tell you, as long, and this is why the Bible is going to say, guard your heart, right? Delight yourself in the Lord. Do you know what that word delight means? It's in Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord. It means be soft towards the Lord. Be like a sponge when it comes to the words of God. Sip them in and he will give you the desires of your heart. Those are not unsanctified desires. Those are what you squeeze the sponge and it oozes out God's will. Amen? And this is what God is calling us to. The journey of faith, if you look at Abraham, it starts by obeying God's voice and it continues by obeying God's voice. But we see him fluctuating, doing all those things, but God still sustains him through it all. Amen? And so you get to see that. And so let me just kind of just tie it all together, because the better Abraham is going to be Jesus. So I'm just really going to tie it up. You get to see these last phrases where basically God says, give me your only son. So in Genesis, God is beginning what I call, this record is like a first drawing of this artist. God is painting the picture of redemption, our salvation. And this painter has in mind a masterwork, right? And the pencils, just he keeps on. The sketch is perfect on its own. But let me tell you this, when it's finished, it surpasses the original sketch because it's been finished, right? Ephesians 2 is going to say we are God's workmanship. It's going to say that God began, and it's going to say he began the good news of Jesus before the foundations of the earth. He began painting. It starts with Genesis chapter 3:15. The seed from the woman is going to crush, right, the head of the serpent, the gospel before the gospel. But you get to see this now in Abraham, where basically he says, give me your only son. And here, this word beloved, this is the first time the word love shows up. First time, and you know what it's in reference with? Not a love for a husband and a wife, not a love of anything else. It's a love between the Father and the Son. Oh, fast forward to John 3:16, you will understand that. This thing began with the love of the Father and the Son, and the Father giving his Son away, and it was the gospel before the gospel. It was God painting a picture that redemption is going to come with sacrificing him. It wasn't so much of Abraham, with God actually providing the lamb, right? We get to see, he says, God is going to provide. He's going to provide. So you get to see the first time he gets to mention the word love. And Jesus is going to say that in John chapter 17, verse 24. He says we had love before the foundations of the earth. It says that the Father loved the Son so much even before the foundations of the earth. But at this moment, Isaac experiences substitutionary salvation, by which, and I wish I could use a bigger word for that, it's called substitutionary atonement, right? Where God comes in and says, I'm going to provide a lamb, and Isaac walks free. That's a picture of us. That's a picture of us. And if you read John 1 verse 29, what does John say when he sees Jesus? Says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The gospel before the gospel coming. And so God provides for us. And this is substitutionary for us at the cross. This was a picture of the cross. A lot of people would think when they look at the cross, they think maybe God just made a quick decision. It's that he started the journey way before. He was walking towards it. And that's why we love to say the gospel is the story of just the Bible. Because he begins from the beginning. And from the beginning, you get to see God walking and showing these little pictures of the cross. The sketch is getting better and better and better and better. So at the cross, he redeems man. And from that moment, we get to come down from that mountain. And we get to walk with our Father into eternity. With him, saved. Safe and secure from all alarms, because we're leaning on his everlasting arm. This is the good news that is available to you today. The good news that is meant to wake you up today if you find yourself, your faith is stagnant. The good news that is offered to us. Amen? Let me just ask these guys to come. I want you to see that Abraham was believing that he was going to be able to, he was believing that God was able to raise his son. So I want you to kind of see, God provides the lamb, Jesus Christ, as what? as a substitute for us, to die for our sins. So for our salvation, God provided a lamb. But for our adoption, listen to this. I wish you could hear this. For our adoption, God raised him from the dead. For our adoption, so that today, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And the angels will say, he's not here. He's not dead. He has risen from the grave. And he sits on the right hand of the Father, and he's constantly interceding on your behalf, praying and wooing you towards himself. So today, whether if you feel like you're so far away from him and you feel like you've sinned and out-sinned him, today is the day of salvation. He's calling you to himself. But not only that, if you think you've out-sinned his grace as a Christian, today the good news is for you. He's wooing you again. He's saying, I am here. Amen. Let me ask us to stand. Jesus, we thank you, God, for your good news, Lord. Let me just ask you to take this time as we sing this song. Take this time. And this is going to be a moment for you just to be you and God. If you're in this room today, it means God is not done with you. Some of us say it's going to be beginning a walk of faith. And man, we would love to hear and celebrate with you and even plan on even baptizing you. And all you have to say is walk with empty hands of faith and say, God, I realize that you have provided a lamb for me so I can be Isaac in this story and walk free. But I realize that the lamb, that was also a picture of you sending your son, for God so loved the world that he gave his own son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So God, thank you, Lord. And for the believer, may God just renew your vows today. Is your faith stagnant? What is the next thing he's calling you to? For some of us, it might just be taking an active role of taking our kids on a faith journey. From this day onwards, maybe that's what God is calling you to. For some of you, it's been maybe taking a step forward and serving in the church and serving your neighbor. For some of you, maybe the step of faith will be letting go of the wounds that have been holding you down and believing that God is able to heal you. It could be applied in all different ways, but Lord, let me ask the Holy Spirit to apply it in your heart. You know where he's calling you to. And may this be the defining day where you can take a step of faith. And I promise you, your life will never be the same for his glory.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For service times, additional audio, along with any other information about our church, please visit citychurchpa.org.